800-635-6303. That's 800-635-6303.
Not all benefits listed may be available on all plans or in a single benefit package. Enrollment in the described plan type may be limited to certain times of the year unless you qualify for a special enrollment period. No obligation to enroll.
In the wake of the deadly school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, more and more concerned parents are considering homeschooling as an option. USA Radio Network's John Clemens reports.
The Washington Times spoke to Brian D. Ray of the National Home Education Research Institute of Salem, Oregon. He spoke about school safety that has increasingly become an issue for parents looking at teaching their kids at home. Mr. Ray told the Washington Times desires by the parents include teaching religious instruction or different values than those offered in public education, dissatisfaction with the academic curriculum, and worries about the school environment, including safety.
One of the president's big applause lines when he goes out and does his rallies like he did earlier this week was talking about the wall and how Mexico is going to pay for the wall. Well, Diane Black, she's a congresswoman from Tennessee. She has another idea of how folks can help pay for the wall.
Have a dedicated fund within the Treasury where the American people who want to see the wall will have an opportunity to be able to just send their money in.
This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
I had a chance to sit down and chat with James Clapper. He was the Director of Intelligence under President Obama. Now, one of the things I had asked him was there's this talk of people spying on the Trump campaign back in 2016. Well, this week, Trey Gowdy came out and defended the FBI. I had a chance to ask Clapper his thoughts on Gowdy and then this whole thing of spying on the campaign.
Good on Trey Gowdy. He's exactly right, and he's in a position to know, since I believe he was briefed in a very unusual meeting that was held about the exact nature of the informant activity. And this was the most benign form of intelligence collection there is. The FBI has long used informants. It's highly regulated and overseen. And it's a legitimate mechanism, and it's something that's very valuable to the FBI. And it's important to remember that the object here was not the campaign or Mr. Trump. The object was to determine what the Russians were doing.
A new poll conducted by Morning Consult and Politico show that 53% of Americans are in favor of the new national anthem policy, while 32% disagree with it, and 15% had no opinion. Republicans do seem to be the biggest supporters of the new policy, with 80% approving and 60% strongly approving. The poll contacted just over 2,200 Americans and was conducted in the last week. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We ask many questions on this program, and one of them is, why do humans behave so badly? It's something that comes up in politics. It's something that comes up in social media. It's certainly something that comes up in traffic. If you're listening in your car radio right now, you know that. And we're going to dig into it with an expert. Robert Sapolsky is the author of Behave, the biology of humans at our best and worst. Robert, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
So, what is the biological root of an angry tweet, a rude tweeter online, you know, at the top of our society or at any level of our society, for that matter?
Well, the official answer to the question is it's complicated. It's complicated, which is to say we're biological organisms. We're primates, we're mammals, we're animals, and when a behavior occurs, and it could be some awful hostile tweet, or it could be some wonderful, warm, supportive thing, or it could be any of those behaviors ambiguously in between, when a behavior happens, you ask, okay, where'd that come from? And you're actually asking a whole cascade of questions. You're asking, so what went on in that person's brain 1 second before that sent those commands to those fingers on those buttons? But you're also asking, what happens seconds to minutes before? What sensory events in the environment triggered those brain regions to do what they did? But you're also asking, what went on hours to days before? What did hormone levels in the bloodstream at the time have to do with how sensitive the brain would be to those signals? And then you're off and running, and what did adolescence have to do with constructing the adult brain that you have, and childhood and fetal life and your genes, and then what sort of cultures were your ancestors constructing, because that will have had something to do with how you were raised, and all the way back to evolutionary pressures. In other words, if you want to make sense of where our behaviors are coming from, we are the end products of a long, long string of biological influences.
It seems to me that, all in all, we do a reasonably good job of channeling those biological influences into productive channels. If you take the totality of everything and look what we've accomplished. At the same time, it's a little bit difficult to say that that social media and certain aspects of modern life haven't exposed the more raw and guttural elements of who we are as human beings. How do you think we best deal with that?
Well, I think we have to try to bolster ourselves somewhat with looking at sort of these horrific directions, aspects of technology, social media has taken us. The ability to be anonymous is like one of the most pivotal sort of events in human history, human evolution, in terms of people being able to be awful to each other. And you could be anonymous in just poisonous ways now that would have been unheard of in traditional human life. Or in a similar way, you know, for a large amount of human history, you might feel like inferior in your self-esteem, badly done in because the person next door to you owns more goats than you do. But now, thanks to social media, you can feel terrible about not being invited to parties on the other side of the planet, or feel terrible about like scads of other people whose lives seem so much more beautiful and successful than yours. I think what we have to take some comfort from is amid technology extending our reach, making it possible for us to be just awful to each other in ways that no chimp could, like, have a prayer of pulling off. At the same time, technology allows us to be altruistic and empathic in ways that are just abstracted and completely, like remarkable directions, you can sit there and feel terrible about something that is happening to a child in a refugee camp on the other side of the planet. And then you can go push a button on a screen and give money to try to make the life of that child better. Or you can adopt somebody from the other end of the planet, or you can feel empathy for a fictional character in a movie or a novel. You can just sort of take our better primate instincts and just extend them, abstract them over space and time in completely novel ways, which, you know, maybe in the long run is a little bit of a counterweight to all the ways in which we can extend awfulness in novel directions.
We're speaking with Robert Sapolsky. He's the author of Behave, The Biology of Humans at Our Best and Worst. To expand upon your last point as we wrap up, what do you think the best means of emphasizing our good monkey selves as opposed to our bad monkey selves are?
recognize that we make terrible decisions when we're stressed or tired or frightened or hungry or drunk or any of these other things. Those are times when we make the most narrow-minded, most parochial, most self-interested sort of decisions about things. Spend a huge amount of time practicing perspective taking. What's the world look like from somebody else's view? You don't have to agree with them, but what is it that they would say are the reasons that support their grievances? And just individuate. Try not to think of people in categories. The more you could think about somebody sitting down and eating the same things you do, or finding the same, like, children to be moving, or who love their pets the same way you do, or whatever, the more you could individuate and stop thinking of people categorically, I think those are some of the best prescriptions out there.
Categorically, an excellent answer. Robert Sapolsky, the author of Behave, The Biology of Humans at Our Best and Our Worst. Thank you for trying to make us better. You have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. And it's time for Strange News of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. A woman blew up her pee. A woman blew up her pee. And I will elaborate on that statement. It has to do with a convenience store. If you're going to blow up your pee, that is an interesting choice of place to do it. I will just warn you, and you probably should have known this before, that a convenience store microwave is not a really good place to put anything that you want in your digestive tract. So let me just reemphasize that before we begin. A Colorado woman has been cited by police after a container of what appeared to be pee, urine, blew up as she was heating it in the microwave in a 7-Eleven. Now, this could have been any convenience store. Obviously, 7-Eleven is typical of the genre, but this could be anywhere. This could be any convenience store. So don't think that just because you go to a different convenience store that it's going to be any less pee infested. Police say the incident occurred in the convenience store in the chain's Aurora location, Aurora, Colorado, last week when the clerk heard a loud bang. Now, when you hear a loud bang, the first thing you think is probably not, wow, someone's pee exploded. But, indeed, that was the case, because the clerk then saw 26-year-old Angelique Sanchez take a white plastic bottle out of the microwave. When confronted by the clerk, Sanchez wiped a yellow liquid that smelled like urine onto the floor and walked out. Sanchez was located by police at a nearby clinic where she had planned to take a urinalysis test for a potential employer. I think that has to mean that the object here was the cleansing of the pee. She was being tested for drugs for a potential employer, by a potential employer, and she thought that perhaps the microwave would rid her pee of any traces of drugs. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
She seems happier. Her fur is so much shinier, silkier, softer. She has really mellowed a lot.
Sheba is a 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life.
The shedding has stopped. The itching has stopped.
Since 2001, we've helped more than 250,000 dogs get over their nutritional deficiency miseries.
And saved our customers bazillions in vet bills.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-325-0170. That's 800-325-0170. 800-325-0170.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening- listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. It is a very special weekend. It's the 150th anniversary, the sesquicentennial of Memorial Day, and PBS's multi-award-winning National Memorial Day Concert is returning live from the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol. It's hosted by Tony Award winner Joe Mantegna and Emmy Award winner Gary Sinise. The annual broadcast is going to be Sunday evening on the 27th of May, the evening before Memorial Day, from 8 to 9:30 p.m. It'll be live Eastern. It'll be rebroadcast on many of the stations in the PBS network that evening. We have with us Joe Mantegna, and we have Leanne Hester, who served tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan and became the first woman to be awarded the Silver Star for Valor in Combat. Joe, Leanne, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
So who is going to be performing this weekend? You guys, as always, have just such a star-studded lineup. Joe, who is going to be on stage?
Well, first of all, my dear friend Gary Sinise will be joining us again as my co-host. We'll have Mary McCormick, the actress Mary McCormick. General Colin Powell returns, as he does every year. We have Brian T. from Chicago Med. We have Alfie Bowe, the singer. We have Spencer Baker, who was one of the finalists from The Voice, the actor John Corbett. We have Academy Award winner Allison Janney, Megan Hilty, who performed with us last year, the actor Graham Greene. It's always a great cross-section of singers, performers, actors. We do vignettes, we do stories, and then we highlight it by these actors telling the stories of significant stories apropos to Memorial Day, and certainly Leanne's story is one of the highlights of our program.
Leanne, tell us, if you could, what that story is. How did you, what is your background, and tell us how you came to receive the Silver Star. Tell us about your service and that incident.
So I enlisted in the Army in April of 2001. I went to basic training in October of the same year. In between there, September 11th happened.
Wow.
So shortly after becoming a military police officer in 2004, the 617th Military Police Company out of Kentucky deployed to Baghdad, Iraq. I was a member of that unit. My squad on March 20th, 2005, was involved in one of the largest firefights since the Battle of Fallujah. For my actions during that firefight, we killed over 30 enemy and wounded several others and received no U.S. or coalition casualties. For my actions that day, I was awarded the Silver Star.
Oh, that's incredible. Well, thank you so much for doing what you've done and giving what you've given to our country. We're speaking with Sergeant First Class Leanne Hester and Tony Award winner Joe Mantegna. Joe is going to be co-hosting with Gary Sinise the National Memorial Day Concert. It's going to be on Sunday evening on PBS stations across the country, live from the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol. Joe, you mentioned a couple of moments ago that some of the things that you do are telling the stories of soldiers and of veterans, in addition to the great musical acts. What are you going to be focusing on this year?
Well, there's a few things. First of all, it's the 150th anniversary of Memorial Day, period. And so there will be some acknowledgement of that. It's the 50th year anniversary of, or actually the 70th year anniversary, I believe, of the fact that the women have been acknowledged as being part, you know, officially of our United States military, but obviously their involvement obviously even precedes what Leanne has done. I mean, but going back to the Revolutionary War. So I think we're going to put a little bit of focus on that. We're talking about Gold Star families and the sacrifices that families obviously have to make when they send loved ones off for conflict. Then we're going to be telling stories. There's going to be an interesting story about two men who fought together in Korea, and then how they ultimately got disconnected and how they ultimately came around to reconnecting. So there's always these, the course of the year when I do the research for this program, they always find these interesting kinds of moving, informative, touching stories that help us understand, why Memorial Day is so important, and how we, as a country, can never forget and have to always be thankful for the sacrifices that our men and women have made over the history of our country.
Leanne, what are you looking forward to most on Sunday night, and what's most special to you as you acknowledge and celebrate Memorial Day?
Yeah, I think what's most special to me is this holiday hits close to home, and I've had several friends sacrifice their lives in battle, so I believe it's important to remember them and remember their families, as Joe mentioned, the Gold Star families. Without our families to keep, our homes back home while we're deployed, you know, we wouldn't be able to do the job that we do over there in protecting the freedoms here back in the state. So I think it's important to remember, what the actual holiday or Memorial Day stands for, and remember the sacrifices and the ultimate sacrifices that have been paid.
Well, we've been speaking with Sergeant First Class Leanne Hester, the recipient of the Silver Star for Valor in Combat, Tony Award winner Joe Mantegna. He, along with Garrison East, will be co-hosting the National Memorial Day concert. It's going to be broadcast Sunday evening on PBS. Look for it and for the times on your station before an audience of hundreds of thousands on the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol. Leanne, Joe, thank you so much for being here, and Leanne, thank you so much for your service.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
30,000 Big Macs and a man from Wisconsin. Can you see where I'm going with this? The Guinness World Record holder for eating the most Big Macs added to his milestone on Friday by eating his 30,000th Big Mac. Not a young man either. Well, I guess you have to be alive for a certain amount of time to consume that many Big Macs. He's a 64-year-old retired prison guard from Wisconsin. He ate the 30,000th at Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, the McDonald's there. Now, you may wonder what state of health Don Gorski, 64, how's he doing? It turns out, actually okay. He weighs 190 pounds. His cholesterol is 165, which is pretty good for his height and weight, apparently. He's better than normal. That's not bad for someone who has eaten 30,000 Big Macs. 1972 was the year that Big Macs first arrived on the scene. And the last world record was established in 2016 when... I think it was actually Don Gorski who ate his 28,788th burger. He says he loves the patties, he loves the sauce, he can't get enough of it, obviously. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
On Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Smart home technology? Meet beautiful window coverings with Smart Shades by Budget Blinds and Lutron. Easy and affordable automated shades that open and close at the touch of a button. Budget Blinds is North America's number one provider of custom window coverings, and Lutron is the most established name in smart home technology. So now, you get the best in both fashion and function with our beautifully styled smart shades. We're your local experts, and we do it all for you. You just sit back and enjoy the seamless functionality of smart home automation to program and control your shades. Get style and service for every budget. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free smart home consultation. Call now to get a free smart lighting control bundle with your smart shade purchase. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or go online to budgetblinds.com. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
USA Radio News.
President Trump is meeting with North Korean official Kim Jong-choi today at the Oval Office. Former U.N. Ambassador and Governor of New Mexico Bill Richardson says we still need to have one message as these negotiations and talks continue.
I think the president's unpredictability and his accepting this summit was the right thing to do, because you're right, from the bottom to the top in the past, things have not worked. I'm just saying that his style should now change to having a strategy, to being temperate, to practicing diplomacy, letting Pompeo run the show, not Bolton, not the vice president. You know, you got to have one message, and we've had 50 messages on this issue.
That audio courtesy of Fox Business, and the new price for a gallon of gasoline, $2.96 a gallon. This is USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You got to have it. When you need it, what do you do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Timing is everything, they say, and it certainly is in radio. It certainly is in many, many parts of life. And so we are speaking today with Daniel Pink. He is the author of When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. Daniel, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Derek.
Sure thing. So one thing that I have noticed, because I am one of those digital immigrants who has transitioned from the analog to the digital world over the course of the past 20 years, is that the advent of social media has really transformed the way that time keeps on slipping into the future. And I am wondering, what have you noticed about the way that that the use of Facebook and Twitter and phones so ubiquitously transforms people's sense of time, and how can we stay efficient and sane in that world?
Yeah, I do think that a lot of what we're doing is exactly, as you say, a battle between efficiency and sanity. I think that among the effects are that a certain loss of patience, because things can happen so quickly. So you see it even, you know, not even in a sort of somewhat digital realm of ATM machines, where if the machine doesn't spit out your cash in 2 seconds and takes instead 7 seconds, you're, you know, impatient and tapping your foot. I think that people expect very quick response times to things in a way that is sometimes beneficial but often unhealthy. I think the biggest thing, though, especially when it comes to performance and well-being, is the fact that we have these devices with us all the time. And there's some very good research on breaks and how important breaks are. And one of the key elements of effective restorative breaks is being fully detached, essentially leaving our phones behind. And the extent to which young people and the rest of us can take more breaks, better breaks, 10-minute, 15-minute breaks, and just leave your phone behind and instead go out for a walk, go out into nature, go have a conversation about something that's not work with someone who you like, those can be incredibly restorative. And in a way, we're not playing the long game here. We feel like, oh, I got to have my phone with me at all times in order to be efficient. But what the research is telling us is that detaching and having a break is actually, over the long haul, far more efficient than always being tethered to your phone.
Physiologically, you're talking about something there that's almost the equivalent of asking a smoker to leave his or her pack somewhere else. How do we overcome the very tangible and very powerful draw of these little light boxes that we all carry with us now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you make a good point. And so I think that, so let's think about taking a break. One of the things that research shows is that social breaks are better than solo breaks, believe it or not, even for introverts. And so one thing you could do is you get a friend and take a 10-minute walk break, and both of you leave your phone so you can essentially police each other. And then also that in-person conversation, that face-to-face conversation, is a little bit of a replacement for the socialization of sorts that goes on a phone. So it's a little bit like, you know, you can have it's not quite nicotine gum, but it's, you know, a way to distract yourself. And as you do more of this, like anything, whether it's breaks or napping or meditation, the more you do it, the better you get at it.
We're speaking with Dan Pink. He is the author of When, the Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. I want to talk about work and work timing and work habits for a moment. I remember that I read somewhere that the author Graham Greene, basically he had a little notebook that he would keep with him. He wrote Our Man in Havana, and he would write 500 words a day. He would never work beyond noon. What can he teach us about when we should work and when our optimal time is for working as human beings?
Yeah, very interesting example there of Graham Greene. It's actually very consistent with what the science says. What the science says is that we tend to move through our day in three stages: a peak, a trough, a recovery. A peak, a trough, a recovery. Most of us move through it in that order. Those of us who are night owls, who are late night types, tend to move in the reverse order: recovery, trough, peak. And what the research also shows is that doing the right kind of work during each of those periods is essential to our productivity and our creativity and our output. And so what we're generally better doing is during a peak, which for most of us is the morning, is doing our heads down analytic work, work that requires vigilance, focus, no distractions. During the trough, which for most of us is the early afternoon to mid-afternoon, we're better off doing our administrative work, answering routine emails and whatnot. And then during the recovery, which is later in the afternoon, early evening for most of us, we have a combination of elevated mood and a little bit more less vigilance, and that makes it a good time for doing kind of creative brainstorming work. And so Graham Greene is absolutely operating in response to that. He is basically taking his peak and doing his heads down work. Now, just to be clear, I am no Graham Greene, but this book When that I wrote, I actually reconfigured my own schedule, and I probably wrote 90% of the words in this book before noon, because I knew that my peak is that morning. And so what I do is I close out my email, turn off my phone, and I like Graham Greene, I give myself a word count and just do that, focus heads down. And if you do, and again, the key here is that what I'm not doing is I'm not taking that peak and squandering it on social media or answering email. Right. I'm not taking that peak and trying to be loose and creative, because that's not my time for being loose and creative. It's my time for being really focused and analytical.
Got it. We're speaking with Daniel Pink. He is the author of When, the Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. Another instance of what it seems to be very bad timing in our society that comes up again and again in the news is school schedules. For high school students, it seems like a report after report says, you know, it's just not good for students, who teenagers biologically, to wake up early in the morning and expect to have their brains optimally focused, and that we should push school start times back an hour or two. But we have this tremendous social pressure and tremendous social structure built around getting up in the morning, and everything having to do with child care and adult work schedules seeming to push back against that. How do we bridge that gap?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have it spot on. That is not even a close call. You have the the scientific background very briefly is this, that all of us have different chronotypes, as I mentioned: early, rise early, go to sleep early, rise late, go to sleep late, and most of us, though, are actually in the middle. But there are big effects of age. So between the ages of about 14 and 24, people end up moving significantly toward lateness, become much more owl-like. It has nothing to do with being – I'm a father of a 15-year-old. It has nothing to do with being lazy. It has everything to do with being 15. And so as a result of this, the American Academy of Pediatrics has urged schools, do not start school for teenagers before 8:30 in the morning. And yet, in the face of all of this evidence, school start times remain, the average in America is about 8:03 a.m. And it's just, it just doesn't make any sense. And I think that you've got it right, Derek, on the reasons why. It's essentially inconvenient for adults. It's inconvenient for adults. And we're not talking starting school at 2 in the afternoon. We're talking about pushing back the school start time to 9, 9:15. And the school districts that have done this have seen pretty impressive results. Lower dropout rates, higher test scores, reduced incidence of depression and obesity, even a decline in teenage car accidents. And it's also a pretty cost-effective solution. And yet, it's somewhat inconvenient for adults because they might not be able to drop their kid off at school when they want to. It's sometimes inconvenient for athletic coaches who say, oh, wait a second, we need to have hours and hours and hours for athletic practices, so school has to end early. To me, the idea, the American Academy of Pediatrics is sort of a generic kind of sounding entity, but just think of it as all the pediatricians in America linking arms and saying, please, school districts, don't do this. And yet, too many of them are. And the ones who have changed have done some great work, but somehow this is a stubborn, persistent problem.
Well, as the father of two teenagers, I'm hoping that it's something that we can manage as a society to overcome, because I have been in the trenches and I see the effects firsthand, and it really is critical, as are so many aspects in terms of timing in our schedules, the way we work, and you outline them quite well in When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. Daniel Pink, thank you so much for being on with us today.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
The expensive mattress you're considering buying is a waste of money because it isn't customized to you. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, the only place to get a customized mattress at a price you can afford. Here's how it works. Go to HelixSleep.com, fill out our 2-minute sleep survey, and we'll design a mattress customized to your specific height, weight, and sleep preferences. And we can customize each side of the mattress. Because studies confirm optimal sleep is best achieved on a mattress custom built just for you. And with prices starting at just $600, there's no reason to look anywhere else. With financing as low as 0% and our 100-night sleep trial, your perfect mattress is only a few clicks away at HelixSleep.com. And during our Memorial Day sale, go to HelixSleep.com/custom and you'll get up to $150 towards your mattress order. That's HelixSleep.com/custom for up to $150 off your mattress order. HelixSleep.com/custom.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. I'm going to get my best descriptive movie trailer voice going for a second here, so stand by.
Conditions on Earth are both dangerous and dire. The leaders of nuclear-armed countries are on high alert, prepared for war.
Sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it?
The Strategic Extra-Earth Development Site has spent years preparing a ship to leave for Titan, one of Saturn's moons. The unhinged president, orders the launch of all warheads. The subsequent nuclear holocaust kills all living things on Earth. The ship is able to depart with the last of humanity to build a new world.
I have just read you a description of Seeds, The Journey Begins. The author of that book, Cary Allen Stone, is with us here. Mr. Stone, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, I'm glad you invited me, Derek. Thank you very much.
Obviously, there's some elements of this story that we see in the headlines, but what inspired you and what's your background? How do you come to this particular story?
Well, actually, it confused my crime fiction readers quite a bit, which I normally write. And I've been wanting to do a science fiction novel for many, many years and took the chance this time or the break to do it. And I wanted it to be not a warring intergalactic war, aliens, the names I can't pronounce. I wanted it to be a thoughtful book about what would you do if you had to leave, and if the times called for it, what would it be like? What would you have to do? What would you manage with your life? What would it be like on the ship? What would it be like being the last of humanity?
I suppose every time we see a report that there's water on Mars or that life might have been sustained there, you know, millions of years ago, or when we hear about a planet that might be in the quote-unquote Goldilocks zone that has just the right number of elements and conditions in order to sustain human-type life, we think about this possibility. And given how chaotic things can be here on the surface of our own planet, it's not something far from a lot of people's minds, I think. Why did you make the transition from your ordinary mode of writing crime fiction? And certainly that's part of the chaos, I suppose, that you talk about. What made you turn to the stars in this particular case?
Well, I've listened to Stephen Hawking for years talk about we've got 100 years to get off the planet. And there's another, I believe Elon Musk as well has said it. We've got 100 years roughly before we're going to ruin it to the point where it's not going to be livable at all. So I just sat, I took about 80 years off of that time, and I said, what if it happens now? In light of what we have to deal with right now, presidential-wise, et cetera, it just seemed like it made sense to take the story in that direction. What if we launched missiles? What if we went to, full-scale alert and it's something that could really happen these days? I think people think it could happen. That was the first part. I was accommodating Hawking's concept that we would have to leave, and then the rest of it just falls into place. It's the first of three, and then I just constructed the story such that, here's all the items we're going to have to put together to do it, and Seeds, as it turns out, the name worked out very well because it's taken as you're seeding another planet with humanity. when in reality it's the facility seeds that is already planning to go to another place. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, they've been planning it for quite a while,
right,
and they are prepared when the missiles are launched. So they're lucky enough to get off the planet and go. And then the second book will be, of course, trying to live on Titan,
mm-hmm,
and or leave Titan and move on, because they've got all sorts of options with the ship still intact. So
mm-hmm,
just leaving is the first part, and it seems likely that it or plausible that, you know, with people talking about how big their buttons are.
Yeah.
you know, it's kind of concerning a lot of people. It was the timing was, I didn't originally plan to write that. It was a good storyline that came my way. So
it makes sense. I mean, this, in a way, this is stuff that you thought about, you know, months and months ago before any of the headlines came about. And we're speaking with Kerry Allen Stone. He's the author of Seeds, The Journey Begins. You spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, what humanity might have to do in a situation like this. What do we need to think about before we send people to other planets? Because there was a period back in the 1950s and 60s when we first made our tentative forays into space. We put people on the moon, and now we seem to have retreated somewhat in favor of robotic exploration, which makes sense given the circumstances. But when other people when human beings have to actually go to other planets, what do we need to think about, and what do we need to think about in terms of sustaining life there?
Well, yes, it's going to be quite a change, and it's like technology that we're dealing with today. It's coming faster than we expected, and your mindset has to change a lot faster than expected. I don't think anyone was thinking shorter than or making it 100 years like Hawking did. They were thinking, well, we got 500 years or 1,000 years. It's closer, and if you're going to do something like it, the preparation, you know, seeds in particular, the facility gathered up as many of the prime scientists as possible, and they all came up with, they had to think outside the box to make this happen, and that's basically, I think that'll be the biggest thing that you'd have to do if you were going to leave. You got to stop thinking Earth and start thinking challenges that you've never seen before, and just be ready for it.
Now, you chose Titan, the moon of Jupiter, as your location, as the place where we would flee to. And I know you've created a fictional universe here. What seems most likely to you, given what you have seen in terms of places that, if we had to go somewhere to preserve some of humanity, to keep the human race going, what look like the most likely prospects? Is there a classified section with real estate listing in our neck of the universe?
Yeah, there's there's three or four different places that you could run to, and NASA's already been planning that. And, of course, we've got a whole group of people headed for Mars. And for me, I thought if there was a nuclear holocaust and there were three separate ships en route to Mars, you're going to have a lot of problems on Mars carried over from what happened on Earth. So I took one of NASA's other options, which was Titan, mm-hmm, and I just turned in that direction instead. I'm not a big fan of Mars, so I thought, hey, it would take a while to get used to Titan. There's no doubt about it. But it takes a while to get used to Mars as well.
Yeah. Took a while to get used to here. You know, took us a few million years to adjust and adapt appropriately.
Yeah, this isn't that easy a place to get used to sometimes. as so stated by our leaders, there are some places that are about the famous word.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, we want to move, if we have to move, to a place that isn't a hole of any kind, because it seems like we're rapidly turning our current home into a hole of a very particular kind.
yeah, I was thinking about that. You know, in space you have black holes.
Mm-hmm.
So haven't heard of any of the other kind yet.
Well, I mean, I suppose the good thing that comes out of that is that in space, no one can hear you tweet. And that at least might be a positive thing. We've been speaking with...
No Twitter.
Thank goodness. We've been speaking with Cary Allen Stone. His book is Seeds, The Journey Begins. Where can people find out more information about the book, and where can they purchase it?
That book is available at your own book dealer or Amazon or anywhere there are books.
Is there a website that folks can go to?
Cary Allen Stone, CaryAllenStone.com.
Perfect. Cary Allen Stone, thanks for being with us on Now It's the News.
Thanks, Derek.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to NowIt'sTheNews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Now It's the News. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy train.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up two tubes of Dogosuds.
Get the third tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogosuds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogosuds. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Ready for a great day on the boat?
Oh, yeah. Hand me that cooler, will you?
Okay. That everything?
Food, sunscreen, tackle, bait, life jackets?
Nah, we won't need them.
Yeah, but I kind of promised my wife.
No, life jacket. That's a deal breaker, Robert.
Yeah, and I promised my daughter.
Come on, Daddy.
Hand me one of those life jackets, will you?
Yeah. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the women who nag you. love you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Earlier today, President Trump wrapped up his meeting with a top North Korean official. The president then spoke to the media a short time ago.
We've gotten to know their people very well, and we will. You people are going to have to travel because you'll be in Singapore on June 12th. And I think it'll be a process. I never said it goes in one meeting. I think it's going to be a process.
With the latest on the U.S. unemployment numbers, here's USA Radio Network's John Clemens.
The economy added 223,000 jobs in May as the unemployment rate fell to an 18-year low. Eleni Karageorge is with the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Total non-farm payroll employment increased by 223,000 in May, and the unemployment rate edged down to 3.8%.
Another sector of the economy showing job growth is for high school graduates, with an unemployment rate at 3.9%.
This is USA Radio News.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 Plus Medicare, our free service can show
owe you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Call now.
800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. That's 800-635-6303.
Not all benefits listed may be available on all plans or in a single benefit package. Enrollment in the described plan type may be limited to certain times of the year unless you qualify for a special enrollment period. No obligation to enroll.
American teenagers are bailing on Facebook. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
Maybe they got tired of their parents and grandparents sending them friend requests, but a new Pew Research Center study finds just 51% of U.S. teenagers are using Facebook these days. And that's a 20 percentage point drop since the last survey 3 years ago. This survey does find 85% of 13 to 17-year-olds in this country regularly use YouTube, 72% use Instagram, 69% are on Snapchat. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Today, President Trump took to Twitter to slam the Russia investigation for costing the taxpayers nearly $17 million. That new report out by the Justice Department